and welcome to the Off-Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances, and I'll be your hostess.
And welcome to episode 216. That's 216. I can't make the trucks go away episode. I came out to the porch to record this intro, and suddenly it's like a whole posse of trucks went by. I'm like, please leave me alone. It's Friday night. It's 5:30. Go home. Eat some dinner. Get off the road. Now, I don't know what I'm going to call this episode. I could call it the I Have Finished with the Stars Upon Stars Quilt Top. I have to call it Stars Upon Stars 1. I suspect there will be more Stars Upon Stars quilts as time goes on. I love stars. I love stars. I know you do too. We all love stars. In any event, it is Friday, October 20th, and I'm sitting on the porch. Here comes a truck with a glass of wine and Travis, the quilt dog. And I want to start out tonight by saying thank you to some people. I want to say thanks to Krista Watson, my wonderful quilty friend, who sent me her new book, Piece and Quilt with Pre-Cuts. It has darling quilts inside of it, and I would like to give this book to you. So what you need to do is leave a comment either in this for this episode or the next one. So that gives you a month. So people, I know not everyone listens to the podcast the minute it comes out. So this gives you time if you, and I'll try to remember to mention it in my next podcast episode, which should be out 2 weeks from now. So leave a comment and you will be entered into a drawing for this book. Krista also sent me some wonderful fabrics from her new line. It's called Modern Marks. This fabric line is adorable, and I ended up using 7 of the fabrics from the line in my Stars Upon Stars quilt top. And it just, they are my favorite fabrics in the whole quilt. So just check that out. Check out Krista Watson, Modern Marks, and get some for yourself. I want to thank Rachel down in Louisiana. She listened to my last episode where I was talking about magazines and, you know, my idea of my dream quilting magazine. Just be lots of articles, no patterns, very little how-to. And she sent me the second issue of Quilt Folk, which was the Iowa issue. I don't know if you've seen this magazine. It's expensive. It's $22. But it is gorgeous. Mary Fonz, who's writing for Quilt Folk now, is making the argument that it is a collector's piece, a collector's item. And it kind of is, or a keepsake magazine. Maybe that's what she's calling it. Whatever it is, it's something that you would keep. You would hold on to and look at again and again. So I think it's just amazingly generous of Rachel to let it go and let me see it. I enjoyed it so much. I've looked at it, I think once I saw it in Barnes & Noble, an issue in Barnes & Noble, and I just wasn't quite sure. It's like, are there enough articles? Are the articles, do they go in enough depth? Some of them do, some of them don't. But I really, by the time I finished reading the magazine, and it's a lot, it's almost 200 pages, I was sold on it, and I think I may ask for a subscription for Christmas. First of all, the photography is beautiful, and this is the Iowa issue, and they just did a wonderful job of capturing small town Iowa. One of the things that I really love, you know, is I love people's stories, and this is a magazine about people who make quilts, who have quilt shops, who are connected to quilt making in some way, and just regular ordinary people. And I love that. There's one star in this issue. Of course, it's Marianne Fonz, who lives in Iowa. And even that, I mean, Marianne Fonz, I'm just incredibly fond of her and have so much affection for her as a human being that even though she is a quilting star, she seems more like a friend. So, I do get, in contemporary quilting, I do get tired of the sort of fangirling thing, even though I have to say, like, I'm doing a thing with Jackie Gehring coming up, doing a class, which I will talk about, I guess, maybe the next episode. And I can't wait. And, you know, I met her at QuiltCon and fangirled over her. But I feel like particularly because Jackie Gehring, I think she's probably a little bit older than I am. So it's like I'm into fangirling
people who are older than I am and who've really done serious work. And I'm not saying that Tula Pink has not done serious work. And I like her fabrics. And I think she's neat. She seems like a neat person. But sometimes you feel like it's the same 10 people. And what I heard, and this was so nice, and someone else I want to thank is everyone who commented. I got like close to 30 comments on the last episode because I was talking about homemade podcasts and how now that there's so many podcasts, you know, a lot of the homemade podcasters have stopped podcasting, and particularly the quilty ones. It's just hard to keep up. It's hard to compete. I mean, I don't think it's a competition thing. And also, people, you go through different seasons, and you don't have time anymore, and which I totally get. But so many people commented and said, please, you know, I love the homemade podcasts. They're my favorites, and please don't stop. Well, I won't, because, you know, I like hearing the sound of my own voice. Not that I actually listen to my podcast, but mostly, so I really love talking about quilts and thinking about quilts. But I so appreciate everyone who took the time to do that, to leave a comment. A lot of people said, I usually just comment in my head, which I totally get, because what happens, and this happens to me too, you're listening to a podcast in the car, and you have some germane things that you need to say about this podcast, and then you get home, and life sucks you up, and chews you up, spits you out, and then by the end of the day, you've kind of forgotten what it is you meant to say. So I did very much appreciate that. So thank you to everyone who commented. Thank you to Rachel for sending me Quilt Folks. I really liked it. Somehow I got from one thing to another to fangirling, but anyway. I don't know. Oh, I know what it was. Somebody was saying, you know, that I feel like with some of the more professional podcasts, that the people who are being interviewed are often have something to sell. And true enough, I mean, that's how it works, right? I mean, that's any time you watch Conan, which I actually never do. Is Conan still on? I have no idea. But watching a talk show, late night TV, everyone who's on is on because they have a product to sell. They have a movie that's coming to the theaters. They have a new book in quilty circles. New book, new fabric, new something going on. And we get that. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But yeah, it is kind of nice sometimes when someone's not trying, it's just talking, to not sell you something. So that's, yeah, and I kind of like that about homemade podcasts as well. So I'm not again, and as far as the fangirling, I don't know. Again, sometimes it just seems like they're kind of 10 people, you know, and they're like the in crowd. It's all very human. It's why, you know, I'm sure if we were a sociologist and an anthropologist could sit us down and talk to us about why this still continues on into adulthood. But I really liked in Quilt Folk just these regular people who are doing beautiful work and amazing things. And that to me is always what's exciting, when just everyday people are not trying to sell anything. Again, I don't have anything against anybody trying to sell anything. I'm trying to sell books, baby, so I'm not out of the selling game by any means. But it is kind of fun, you know, when you're just people who are just doing stuff for love. That's my favorite thing. Amateurs. I'm an amateur when it comes to quilting, and I love other amateurs, particularly ones who are making really beautiful quilts. So I really like this magazine, and some of the articles really were in depth, and that was fun. So I think I may ask for a subscription for Christmas. Did I already say that? May have. Don't know. I want to thank a very kind person whose name I do not know, who goes by Ballard Quilter. And she posted a comment on the last episode saying that she had a copy of Quilt Digest, the third issue. I don't know how many issues there were altogether. I know there are at least four. But she said she had a copy that she would love to send me. And unfortunately, I had just a few days before I got her comment ordered the third issue of Quilt Digest from eBay. It wasn't unfortunate, but you know, sad. Yeah, I would have loved to have taken her up on her offer. But mostly I just felt really touched by the generosity of that offer. So thank you so much. So I think that's who I needed to thank. Krista and Rachel and Ballard Quilter and everyone who left a comment. Thank you, thank you. I appreciate it. Is there anything I need to tell you? I don't think so. I don't. I guess, yeah. If something comes to me, I'll write it down. And I'll talk about it next time. But for now, let's get on with the Quilt Diaries. Quilt Diary Day 1. It is Friday the 13th. I was about to say I'm not superstitious, and then had that fleeting thought, if that if I say I'm not superstitious on Friday the 13th, something bad will happen, which means that I actually am superstitious. I'm out on the porch, perhaps temporarily. There are workmen next door. I assume they would just think I'm talking on the phone. I don't think their automatic assumption would be that I'm recording an episode of a quilting podcast. Not necessarily the first conclusion you would jump to. There's also someone who's either cutting down trees or blowing leaves. Equally obnoxious. I know everyone uses a leaf blower. Even the man does. But I have to leave the house because I just think it's noise pollution. It's air pollution. It makes me mad. But there you go. I am, as always, an army of one in almost all matters. I wanted to say thank you to everyone who has commented on my last episode, which came out about a week ago. I feel like I must have really guilt-tripped people because I'm getting all these wonderful comments, including from people who have never commented, who have commented in their head. So I've heard their comments, but not actually seen them in print. Just saying, please keep podcasting. Don't stop. We are listening. And it's just been lovely. And I appreciate it. And I appreciate this support for homemade podcasts. Somebody said that with the professional podcast, you know, these interview podcasts, that they felt a little bit like the guest always had something to sell. And I think there's some truth in that. Not always, but sometimes. And yeah, I don't know. I like a good homemade podcast myself. And as I said, I plan to keep podcasting. I enjoy it. I like talking about quilts and quilt making and Travis. So with those three things being very true, I need to tell someone, and it's you. But anyway, I do really appreciate this support. I'm kind of walking through the house now, looking for a quiet place. It may be that the porch is going to be the quietest place in spite of the leaf blowing and the workmen, because inside I've got the washing machine going and Pandora playing cool jazz, light jazz. It's my Bill Evans station. Oh, now we're hammering. Okay. I can't win. I think I need just to go curl up in bed and talk to you from there, except my sheets are in the washer. Okay, we're gonna go turn off Pandora and try the front room. Maybe that will work and we can finally chat. Okay, here we go. Yes. All right, so it is Friday, and I am trying to get chores done and work done and laundry done. I guess laundry would count as a chore. In hopes of at some point, it would be nice to get some quilting done. I am waiting for an order of light gray, American-made fabric. This is one of the great things about ordering from my local shop, which is in Cary, so it's not local. But often they process the order like 20 minutes after they get it. So I'm hoping this fabric will come in today. And I'm kicking myself because I ordered some light gray fabric 2 weeks ago and for some reason just did a yard. And even as I was doing it, because I'm cheap. But even as I'm doing it, I'm thinking you probably need more than a yard. And of course, so this time I ordered 2 yards. I'm working on this quilt. It's the Star Quilt. It doesn't have a name, so of course we'll just be calling it the Star Quilt till Quilt and Jenny tells me what to really call it, because she's my quilt namer. I do like Stars Upon Thars. I'm not sure this is the Star Quilt to bear that name, but I do like that name. But this is a quilt that sort of started as an accident. I was looking through some of my quilt history books. And man, first of all, these books are so good for design ideas, because these old quilts, right, these ones from the 1930s and even 19th century quilts, a lot of them are very fresh looking, you know, and this is something I would have to really ponder and do some real looking around. But sometimes with contemporary quilts, by which I don't mean art quilts, what do we mean by contemporary quilts? So we've got traditional quilts, but I think we have what I would call contemporary traditional, right? As opposed to, so we have modern traditional quilts, but I think contemporary traditional quilts, and tell me if this is actually a category or if there is a category that's describing what I'm talking about, but is more official. So contemporary traditional quilts. So these are block quilts that often, in fact, perhaps more often than not, utilize traditional elements such as sashing and borders, and play with traditional block patterns. So what makes them contemporary? That's a good question. I think that there's more movement in these quilts, and so they're not necessarily, I think of traditional quilts as using a lot of repetition, a lot of block repetition, either just to have repeating blocks with the same pattern or to create a larger pattern using repeating blocks. So for instance, an Irish chain quilt or a log cabin quilt would be that, using repeating blocks to create a unified overall quilt pattern. So contemporary traditional uses these traditional elements, but perhaps, let's see, I'm working something out with you. So, you know, and leaving you plenty of spaces to yell at me. That's the most frequent kind of comment that I get is, well, the words you meant, or I was yelling such and such, or so and so, or what you're thinking about is this or that, because in the moment I can't remember what it is I'm trying to say. So yes, I'm working through this. What is contemporary traditional? Using traditional elements and contemporary settings, the settings of the quilts themselves are more contemporary. Does that make sense? Maybe, maybe not. I'll work through this. But I think what I'm getting at is that they can contemporary traditional quilts can often be very busy quilts. And, you know, I was talking last time about the modern quilts that are incorporating prints, and oftentimes those quilts seem busy to me, as well as, you know, there's in modern quilts, I feel a recent trend is doing some sort of sampler quilt. But one of the things that's done is that the block sizes are not uniform, and so you have some very small blocks and some of them big blocks, and different block, I'm saying block styles, but just in different patterns, different block, what would we call this? I have books right here that would tell me. We could say patchwork patterns. Maybe that's, I'm looking at my Jenny Beyer book, which is the Quilter's Album of Patchwork Patterns. So using different patchwork patterns, right? So not uniform blocks, but different blocks, different patterns, and also in different sizes. And sometimes it's done really well. And in fact, my friend Patty, who I know listens, and Patty, I'm not just saying this because you listen, but I'm trying to think. I will have to look at her quilt. I'm meeting Patty for tea today, so she can show me a picture. Because I'm trying to think. She showed a quilt at our meeting Sunday, which I loved. I think she should enter into QuiltCon. It's fabulous. And she may have done it with different size blocks. And whatever she did, it worked. And I think, because I'm thinking, I can kind of see her quilt in my mind. And I really loved her colors. But also, I felt like there was a good use of white, of negative space. So it didn't feel overcrowded or too busy. And some of these quilts I see just feel that way. They feel like too much going on. And I feel that way with some contemporary traditional quilts, that there's so much going on. Now, it's usually, I think, more contained and more, it feels more purposeful. So it's a different kind of busyness. It's a different kind of action happening in these contemporary traditional quilts. And I have a sense that these quilts are more under control than some of the modern quilts I'm seeing that are using these different perspectives and different traditional block patterns. Sometimes I feel like there's a lot of improvisation going on, that sometimes, you know, improvisation is really interesting. And I mean, I like to do improvisation. But, you know, there seems to be an element of luck involved. So you can do improvisation and you can be having fun in the process and go, wow, what a mess when you end up. When you're finally done, you're like, huh, yeah, that didn't work. Anywho, back to the books that I've been looking at. So these are traditional, antique traditional quilts, and they're not so busy.
as the traditional contemporary quilts. And there is more breathing room in these quilts. And that, to me, is what gives them a modern aspect. And so back to the original point, and I think I'm actually getting back to it, crazily enough. I was looking through one of these books and I saw a star quilt and I thought, you know, I love stars and I think I'm going to try this. I'm going to do something. And I just happened to have this light gray fabric that I'd got for something else and then ended up not using it. And so so I started making quilts using these very cute prints. And I have to give a big shout out to my girl, Krista Watson. And by the way, we're going to do a giveaway. I have a signed copy of her new book, and there's some very cute quilts in it. So I want you to leave a comment so you can have a chance to win that. But she also sent me, along with this book, some fabric samples, like a big bunch. And some of it, she's like, oh, this is just stuff from the end of the bolt. Yes, someone was yelling, end of the bolt, end of the, I heard you, I know, and thank you. Yes, end of the bolt. And this new fabric line of hers, and I should actually go find out what it's called. I'll link to it, but it's something very fun, like Modern Marks or something. It is so cute. And the colors are so bright, and I immediately started incorporating this fabric into the stars. And this is the first time this ever happened. The man walked into my sewing area, uninvited. No, he's allowed to come in whenever he wants, and looked at the fabric and said, wow, that's awesome. And he's never commented on fabric before. I mean, he likes my quilts, and we'll talk about fabric choices and what have you. That's the first time he's ever come in, seen a pile of fabric on my work table and gone, wow, I really like that. That is really awesome fabric. And so that's something, you know, but these, they're so cute. So that's been fun to make some stars using those fabrics. I'm still not quite sure what I'm doing with this quilt. So I'm accumulating more stars. And the way I'm doing it, it's funny because I'm like, oh, I like this fabric. I'll make a star and then put it up on the design wall and go, oh, you know what? It's not really working. So I have some old fabric I bought. You know, at some point many years ago, I thought I was going to build a stash. And so I was just buying, you know, back quarters or just buying, you know, quarter or half yards off the bolt at Thimble Pleasures. Oh, I miss Simple Pleasures, but buying, just going in and trying to grow a stash, and it just has not worked for me at all to do that. But I had some Mark Lipinski fabric, very pretty fabric that kind of wasn't modern, but it's so, but very kind of contemporary and neat. So certainly not traditional. Maybe we'll call it contemporary traditional, but whatever it was, I really liked it and liked the colors, and there's some nice golds and some fuchsia and a dark background. And I thought, oh, this will be great. And so I made a star, and the star itself is very pretty, but it didn't work with my other stars. That's what, that fabric from Krista is like, whoo, that was a nice infusion of fabric, I have to tell you. So I'm working now. I've got enough stars that I'm starting to play around with design. And, you know, one of the things, here's something, and it's kind of a larger issue for me. There are times when I'm thinking about making a quilt, I'm like, oh, can I submit this to a show? Now that I'm all about the quilt show and the quilt con thing, right? Now that I've crossed that barrier. And, you know, so, and quilt con is coming up. It's like, oh, and I've got two quilts that are ready to be submitted. And if you recall, the thing that I pledged and the pledge I told you, you had to hold me to, was that I would not submit any quilts to QuiltCon or any show that were not ready to go, right? And so I have sit in, if it gets in, which, it might not, but if it gets in, there will be some repair work I do. And I'm okay with that, because it's like a day's worth of just cleaning up some of the zigzag stitches around some of the chairs. It's not a big deal at all. And then the other, I'll submit Wing, which is the Riley Blake Rockstar quilt. And they're ready to go. Two quilts, $15 each to submit. I mean, that's the thing. At some point, it just starts getting expensive and starts feeling a little bit like a vanity project or a gamble, right? Well, if I submit six, maybe I'll get one. And it's just like, that can't be my quilting life. That can't be my motivation. I do like the idea of
doing some show quilt. I you know, and this again, since this seems to be the Crystal Watson quilt diary, which is not a bad thing at all. But I remember she has talked about why enter shows, and you know, she has said it gives you a goal to work toward. You know, it's like you want to make a new quilt. It's like, well, maybe I'll see, maybe I can make a quilt that I could submit to QuiltCon or a big AQS show or Houston or whatever. And I think that that's you know, that's a good reason to submit to a show. It's just to give yourself a goal. And I like that. But I can't be like making decisions like, well, I kind of like this, but it's too traditional to submit in the modern category. You know, that just can't be my quilting life. And I like these stars, but I'm not going to make a funky, you know, design that just feels... I feel like these stars are calling out to be put in it together in a fairly orderly fashion. I don't want to just do rows of stars, but I messed around with some alternate grid stuff. I'm like, yeah, I don't know. I don't think that's what these stars want. You know, I think they have their own desires. I don't think that that's what they want. So I'm playing around with some fairly traditional settings. But I have this idea that I like. So these stars are 8-inch blocks. And my thought is to do a border of stars using the same fabrics, but of 4-inch stars or even smaller. You have to be careful. Once you get really little, then that it's just harder. You know, the seams, that, all that, you know. I think working small is hard. But although I just had the thought, oh, maybe I could hand piece them. Oh, no, don't. No more. No. Okay. Anyway, back it up. Yes, but I like that idea of doing a border of smaller stars. So doing, piecing the 8-inch blocks together in some pleasing setting and doing maybe just a small border around. Could be in gray, but could be something else. I don't know. Like a marigold orange. I could say marigold yellow, except you know how I feel about yellow. And then doing... stars and the star and then they it may be like a solid border of stars, if you know what I mean, like block, no spacing, no negative space between that outer border. But I might make that pattern a little irregular. We'll see. I've been thinking too about the creative process, and you know, and it's interesting to me whether you're writing or making quilts or have an idea for something you'd like to paint, whatever, you know, floats your boat, whatever creative activity you're engaged in, and how beginnings, you know, we have so many great ideas in our heads. And what's frustrating is when you try to, you know, implement these ideas and they don't really work out. And you know, for whatever reasons, whether sometimes if it's a story idea, it can be just a good idea that actually turns out not to have a lot of juice. You know, and so you write a few pages and go, you know, I don't really care about these characters or whatever. And that happens. And it's disappointing because when you sat down, you're like, yes, this is a great idea. And then you realize like, nah, it's not working. And with a quilt, you know, with designing a quilt, and obviously I do all my designing on the wall. And, you know, I was talking with Patty, the aforementioned Patty, and she has offered to teach me EQ7. And what I was thinking is, like, I don't know that I want to design quilts in EQ7. And now there's EQ8, but I've got EQ7, which I've used, like, for 20 minutes, so not getting any more EQs. But just to do the math, and which she said she can teach me to do, that's what I really need EQ7 for, is an easy way to plug in from, you know, blocks and just to figure out how much fabric I need. So I'm not constantly ordering 2 more yards of this or 1 more yard of that, because, you know, and Carey Quilting Company, who I order from now, has a flat shipping rate of $5. So it would have been a lot cheaper for me to have ordered 3 yards of fabric, of light gray fabric, instead of 1 and then 2 more yards later. That was really dumb. I'd have to get over that. So anyway, so that creative process and the disappointment involved when your ideas don't pan out, but you just, I mean, once you've been doing it long enough, of course you realize, yep, that means going back to the drawing board and readjusting. And oftentimes what you end up with is better than what you thought of in your head. But so this has been interesting. And, and I feel like so oftentimes this is how my quilts start now. It's just with an idea that I start playing around with and a little, after I've been working on it for a week or two going, now, why am I doing this? What prompted me? But it's just like, you just had an idea and you start playing around with it. And you have to be willing to risk failure. I think that's a big part of the creative process, is going in knowing you may fail. And that's hard for people. And I think sometimes that's why people don't start things. And I know, I teach this writing workshop, and I know these girls that I work with, they're very good writers and they're very creative, but I think sometimes they hit a block, and the block is their own perfectionism. They don't want to do something that's lesser than what they've done before. And sometimes you just have to do that. Sometimes you got to get things out of your system, or just be willing to play and fail. And I heard someone talking about this on the radio the other day, and I have no idea where I heard it, if it was like on a local show or if it was on, like All Things Considered in the afternoon. But someone was saying that their brother, this person was a musician, I think it's on the local show, always talked about the importance of play, and that play was like doing an experiment without a hypothesis, right? You're not trying to prove anything. You're not trying to disprove anything. You're just messing around and experimenting without any anticipated outcomes. And so that has been, for me, something that I've had to learn, because I can't, as much as I love process, it's like I have a hard time doing something if there's not an end product in mind. So, so we'll see what happens with the stars. They are cute stars because of this cute fabric, and just using some of the fun modern and some traditional prints, but all the colors for the most part are bright. I do have stars that I've tried, and like I was talking about the Mark Lipinski fabric, and I've got a few others that aren't working, but that's what quilt backs are for, right? We'll go buy some yardage at the scrap exchange and put those stars in there in some fun, wonky way, and they will be used. Or maybe I'll make pillows. Who knows? So anyway, so that is where I am right now. And I'm not sure what else I can update you on. It's Friday. It's the weekend. Jack was here for fall break, and we had a very nice time. He's a quiet kid. He kind of does his own thing, but it was so nice just to have him back. It was nice to have his presence here. And he, he gamed. He had some work he had to do, and he has a friend in town who has taken a gap year, although she's doing some design courses over at NC State. So he went to see Grace. Very quiet, very chilled out, but nice. We had a good time. It was very nice to have him back. And he was talking about how a friend of his has invited him to go to New York City for Thanksgiving. And part of me was like, go, because he's never been to New York. It's like, to go with a friend who lives there, who has a couch for you to crash on. It's like, that sounds great. But part of me is like, no, you have to come home for Thanksgiving. So I hope he will. Maybe this friend will invite him to go to New York for spring break. Now that would be fabulous. But I want him to come home for Thanksgiving. And let's see. So it's weird. So it's Friday, and dropped Will off at school. We'll not see him until tomorrow. It's homecoming at our fine school, but we don't have a football team. So I think that there's a soccer game, a varsity soccer game, and he's going to go to his practice and then stay for varsity soccer and then go home with his friend Ashank. This kills me. Ashank has an older sister, Isha, who is a senior, and she's very nice, and she likes Will, and she loves her little brother, Ashank. So I think Isha's like going out. Seniors can leave campus at lunch, and so I think she's going out and buying them lunch. And I asked Will today, it's like, do you need some money? Because you're going to be hungry by the time your game is over. He's like, nah, Isha's going to go pick us up something. I'm like, oh, man. And everyone needs an Isha. I need an Isha. Yes, so but we're having these weekends where we don't see a ton of Will, and it's like, on the one hand, it's kind of fun. We watch, eat dinner and watch TV, and don't. Well, now Will's gotten so old, we don't worry about if he's walking through, during the naughty bits. We don't watch a lot with naughty bits, but we certainly watch stuff with naughty language. But I suspect Will's using some of that language, just not at home. But anyway, so he is spending the night at Ashonk's, and then tomorrow he's going to the Duke football game and to hate on Duke a little bit. So it's like, where'd everybody go? What's happening? But yesterday, I took my friend Doug, the fiddle player, to a gig. This was last night. He and his band, he's in a string band. They do old-time music. They had a gig at a pizza place in Hillsboro. Hillsboro is about maybe 10 miles west of here. It takes about 20 minutes to get over there. But it's this cute little town, and of course, like every place around here, the housing prices are skyrocketing. But I love it so much, and I kind of want, when we move, that's kind of where I want to move to, because you can walk around everywhere. And it's got a bookstore, it's got a yarn shop, I have been doing a little bit of knitting. It's got lots of nice little restaurants, you can walk to the library, you can walk to the Whole Foods, and so I kind of just want to get rich so we can retire there, perhaps immediately. So I guess I'm thinking with my children kind of leaving home one way or the other. starting to think, well, what are we going to do? And neither of them are home at all. And it's like, move to Hillsboro so I can walk around and be a regular. That's this pizza place. It was a really nice pizza place. And I was sitting with the mandolin player's wife. And she is a teacher in the middle school and has been teaching there for, 20 years. And so, she knew all the waitresses. It just felt like, I felt more like I was in Northern Exposure than, say, Gilmore Girls. But it had that kind of feeling, small town feeling that I really like, I really want. But to get the house I want there, we will have to get rich. So, if you haven't bought all my books already, go ahead and do that. That would be super cool. All right, I think I will end up now and finish up with my chores and the laundry and do my grocery list, because that's what I'm going to do after I meet with Patty. And I will tell you the other thing. So I am not one for a conflict or controversy, and I don't, like on Facebook, I don't post a lot about politics, in part because I don't want Facebook to be my politics place, and I've unfollowed a lot of people who I really love just because I can't take it anymore. And I do occasionally post on the postmodern quilt, I don't know if it's Postmodern Quilts, Postmodern Quilt Guild, whatever, but it's a Facebook group that I like. And someone had posted about how upset they were that people so often sell their quilts for much less than they should. And so there's a lot of discussion, and most of it was like, yeah, people shouldn't do that. And I posted it because I've had this thought recently, because, some people, and this was mentioned, they sell their quilts, but they don't really need the money. So they will price their quilts pretty low because they're just, having fun, getting a little extra fabric money or whatever. But the problem is that, it affects how much people are really willing to pay for a quilt. Because if you've got this nice quilt here and it's $150 because the person doesn't really care about being compensated for their time or their materials, they're not going to spend $700 on a quilt, which is probably the minimum price. And your baby quilts, a baby quilt should be a couple hundred bucks at least, I think. I'm not in the quilt selling game. And but I've had the thought that if I ever open an Etsy store, I would sell quilts at what they were worth. I wouldn't amp up the price. But if, say, the star quilt, say it takes 50 hours, well, I probably wouldn't still. It's very hard to price a quilt for what it's really worth. But I would put a pretty high price on it, to at least to say this is not a dish rag. It's a real homemade quilt. So anyway, so I commented about that. And then I do think that people who, sell quilts just for fun really should put a high price on their quilts to train or educate the market. This is what a quilt is worth. And I got immediate pushback from somebody who's like, oh, I completely disagree, and basically said this is called, what is it? price, whatever. It was like, this is, you can't even do it. It's illegal. I'm like, it's not illegal to sell a quilt for what it's worth. You know, it may be futile to try to do it, but it's not illegal. But it's that whole exchange. And then she wasn't just responding to me, because I was just one in a long line of people saying, what was she saying? Calling it price jacking. It's not price. I mean, that's a whole different thing. So I thought that was a fairly inaccurate accusation, but you know, and I just responded and said, you know, good, but she was basically, the market will bear what the market will bear, and you're not, you know, people aren't going to get, you, if you're going to sell quilts, you have to accept that. I'm like, I think the market needs to be educated. If you want a cheap quilt, go to Pottery Barn and buy your cheap quilt, and they're very cute quilts at Pottery Barn, so I'm not down on them. But if you don't want to spend a lot of money on a quilt, but it's not wrong to ask for a quilt what it's worth. It does mean you are not going to get as many interested buyers. But my friend Michelle also posted in this, you know, in this, what is it? I don't know, train of comments. But she has recently sold some of her quilts, and she's an amazing quilt maker and a really fine designer. She is working on a book, which I'm very excited to see, about design, about quilt design. But she has sold, she just sold three quilts for a lot of money. She decided that she was, this curator was, I guess, I don't know when she says curator, if it's for a museum or for what, but was interested in her quilts and said, you know, said, what's your price? And that she has some anxiety about naming a price, but she decided to go for it. And all three quilts were bought for the price that she asked. And it's like one of them, I think she priced it $1,000 or maybe $1,500. I mean, a lot. And that, you know, and her quilts are exceptionally fine quilts. But I was, you know, I was like, you go, girl, you know, because there will be people who will buy, whether those are Etsy buyer shoppers or not, I don't know. But I don't know. I'm not that interested in getting into the world of competitive quilt selling. And the main reason I actually bring this up, although I do think it's a good conversation thread, that's what I was thinking. But Michelle posted a comment in the thread. Yes, see, it all comes to me eventually. Anyway, but I think it's a good discussion about what, you know, what people are willing to pay versus, I mean, I do think people should be educated. If they want to buy a quilt, you should understand this is why quilts cost so much. And there are people who are willing to pay a high price for, you know, something of quality. And as we know that, as those of us who, you know, are willing to pay more for a really good sewing machine because we know it's worth it. And people who are willing to pay for a painting, and pay $1,000 or $5,000 or $20,000 for a painting. There are those kind of buyers as well. So again, if you're selling an Etsy, yeah, you may have a hard time finding a buyer. I looked at Etsy quilts, and a lot of them are like $80 or $150. There was one that was $400. And it was funny because I didn't think it was that cute of a quilt. But so, like, good for you. Good for you for asking a reasonable amount of money. It may take this quilt maker longer to sell that quilt. And maybe she won't ever sell it, but I'm like, yeah, you know, have some pride. Other craftspeople sell their goods for reasonable prices, and I think quilt makers should too. So anyway, but I hate conflict. So as soon as someone kind of pushed back against me, I'm like, oh, no, you're supposed to agree with me, right? Come on, be nice. But I also am a grown-up, and I thought, you know, you can push back a little bit too. And, you know, the way that I like to do, which is to acknowledge that her point was fair. However, she was wrong about price jacking. And yeah, and that I do think that the market should be educated about quilts and the value of quilts, because I think they're beautiful and highly valuable. And I have spent money on quilts before I made them. And you know, and I still have the quilt. And I've only bought a couple quilts, and one was one that turned out to be terrible. And, you know, but you know what I paid $30 for it. It was for charity. So that's how it was being offered. It's like, the money goes to charity. And, but you know what? It was at $30 probably. It was a small quilt and probably paid for the material, but it wasn't that good of a quilt, quite frankly. So anyway, just wanted to share all that with you. And now I'm going to go get on with my life. And well, you probably keep listening to the podcast. Okay. So you do that. I'll do you. I'll do me. Talk to you later. Quilt Diary Day 2. It is Thursday, October 19th. It's about 2:20. In a little bit, I'm going to go to the gym. I need to go to the gym. It's not been a good week for that. And, And sometimes a girl just needs to go ride her stationary bike and listen to really loud, obnoxious music. And that's what I aim to do. So I have finished the top, the Stars Upon Stars top. I really like how it looks. I will post a picture. I hope you like how it looks too. I posted a picture of the rough draft on my Instagram feed. And what I've done to it since, besides sewing all the pieces together, is added a border, an 8-inch border. Just added an extra block on to every block going around on the outside. And I like it because it makes the stars sort of float a little bit in the middle. So it's neat. It's a nice size. It is 72 inches long and 56 inches wide. It actually seems wider than that. I'll have to go measure. But anyway, it's a nice size quilt. And now it will go in the stack of quilt tops that need quilting. I have four. I have four, including Stars Upon Stars. And then I'm going to finish Stellar Junior any minute now. And that will be the fifth. And then we will have the great 2017 machine quilting bake-off extravaganza. I could see spending the rest of the year quilting quilts. The fun thing about the star quilt, about Stars Upon Stars, is it was a pretty straightforward quilt to do. It didn't take very long. I think maybe I've worked on it 3 weeks, maybe not even that long. I'm not sure, but it could be 3 weeks. And now what I have next is finishing up Stellar Junior, and that I have one. The next thing I have to do on that quilt, which I think I talked about in the last quilt diary, that's going to be hard. Once I get past that, the rest of it's easy. And so it should come together pretty quickly after the hard part. So, and once that's done, again, that's all I'm doing is quilting. But it was fun working on an easy top. It was fun working on something very straightforward. I will say this, that I took a shortcut on some of the half square triangles. I know that the best thing for me to do with half square triangles is to piece them big. So if I have a 2.5-inch half square triangle, to make a 3-inch half square triangle, and then cut the half square triangle down to size. That's the way I'm going to get the most accurate half square triangle. And I was doing that, and then I accidentally cut strips for half square triangles that were 2.5 inches wide. And I didn't want to waste the fabric, so I thought, well, I can do this. I can make this happen. And, at first I could, and then I lost my touch. And the result is I have a few blocks that I had to, when I piece them with other blocks, had to be creative. And so some of those blocks do not have a full quarter inch seam because I had to make the seam a little tighter in points to keep the blocks 8.5 inches. Does that make sense? That there were places where you might start piecing two blocks together, and up top they match perfectly, the edges match perfectly, and as you get down, because one block is slightly askew or slightly off kilter, you keep going, but you're only catching maybe, instead of a quarter inch, an eighth of an inch, right, of your top block, the smaller block. And so you're still creating 2 8-inch blocks, finish blocks, right, but at the expense of some seam allowance. And, the problem with that, ultimately, is it just means your seams are not as solid and the blocks can come apart. And I know that from experience, and it's a little frustrating, and I'm a little frustrated with myself. And it does make me think about, the need for precision. I can get a little bit like, oh, you perfectionists, you people with, sticks up your sewing machine. Trying to find a nice way to say that, and there's just not, you know, but it's sort of like, oh, it's just the quilt police who want us to be all accurate, and they're terrible, and free to be you and me, and whatever, and you're like, well, yeah, I mean, but there is something to be said for your quilts holding together for more than one washing, and I think sewing solid seams with even stitches actually really helps that process. So that some of the quilting rules we have, many of them, are not born out of a needless perfectionism, but out of the desire to create something that holds up for a long period of time. So I am going to be better. I'm going to be better. I am. In the future, when I get my act together, I will be better. To that end, this morning I was waiting for Will to get ready for school. I was watching some YouTube videos, and I stumbled across this woman. I believe her name is Dorothy Porter. I will post a link in my show notes. And she just did this 16-minute video. I haven't watched the whole thing, but just on quilting tips. And apparently she's a quilting teacher. I'm not familiar with her, but perhaps you are. I can't remember how many views this video got, but it was very helpful. And I thought, yes, once again, I am in need of a refresher course. I actually know why my half square triangles. I don't know why I can't sew a 2.5-inch square, a 2.5-inch half square triangle precisely using 2 2.5-inch wide strips. It is doable. I can get pretty close, but very rarely do I make it perfectly. But anyway, but there are a lot of things you can practice, a lot of great tips out there, and particularly from, I'm calling her Dorothy Porter. I don't know if that's right or not. But you know, there are things you can do to be more accurate, to make a better quilt, and I do need a refresher course, so I plan on taking one via YouTube. Thank you very much. Now, when you go to my show notes, there will be various links. There will be a link. Well, there will be a picture of the Stars Upon Stars top, which I hope you like. And then I have a link to my friend Patty's blog. I talked about Patty's quilt in the last quilt diary. And then I got together with Patty on Friday, and I asked her to show me a picture of her quilt. And then she kindly later emailed me the link to the blog post in which she discusses the quilt. So it was interesting to look at this quilt again, which I had seen at the guild meeting, and to understand more deeply why I thought it was a good quilt. And that's, I always find that a fun exercise. If you find a quilt appealing, to go, okay, why? What's going right here? What's working? And you know, the other side of that coin is to look at a quilt, you know, just going through quilts on Instagram, go hashtag quilt and start scrolling through quilts. And the ones that don't appeal to you or almost appeal to you, to really try to break it down. And to me, actually, the most interesting quilts are quilts that almost work, but don't quite. And it's like, is it color? Is it, does it have to do with, you know, the fabrics, the patterns? What is it? Is it just that you don't like this particular kind of quilt? I find that really interesting to do, but it is particularly fun to break down a quilt that you like, to see if you can see it for its parts, to see if you can understand why it works. And looking at Patty's quilt, there are a couple of things. One, it's a sampler quilt, and it's a modern sampler, but she uses solids. Different color solids, but solids, and they're very pretty. So it doesn't take on that noise that some of the modern sampler quilts do. But also, what was interesting is to look at the blocks. Even though she had different sized blocks, they worked together. They were balanced, and I don't know if proportional is the right word here, but what I noticed is she might have, say, a block, a big block, 16 inches, right? Pretty big block. And next to it were four smaller blocks, but those four smaller blocks actually were, say, 4 inches each. So even though they were four blocks, they also read as one big block. And so I felt like she kept the design proportional even as she changed sizes of the blocks, even though there are a lot of different sizes and there was a lot going on. And I don't know if ratio plays in there. I got a D in geometry. I'm really not the person to talk about this stuff. But there was something that was very pleasing in the design, and that it was both innovative but also satisfying. And again, so many of these, the modern samplers I see, I feel like there's not enough thought to balance and proportion. And, you know, that you have to be careful. Not, you know, just throwing stuff together doesn't make it modern, right? Just saying, oh, I'm going to do, you know, here's a 3-inch block, and here's a 9-inch block, and here's a 8-inch block next. Just mixing things up like that doesn't necessarily accomplish anything except chaos, visual chaos, sometimes, depending if you know what you're doing or not. There is, and I also link to this. I've been working on the show notes. Now, I don't know this woman's name, but she's a Finnish quilter, so we're going to call her the Finnish quilter. She's from Finland. and I ran across her quilts. I think just did hashtag modern quilt for a search in Instagram. And she seems fairly popular. She has like 4,000 followers. And she's doing a lot. She's using a lot of prints, and even has a sampler quilt made with prints. But her quilts are beautiful, even with using prints, even with doing kind of funky samplers. They are really clean. You know, that's the only. It's just that the design is so clean and so pleasing. And I really would like to study her quilts more to go, how are you making that happen? How come I look at your sampler quilt with its different size blocks, its use of prints, and think, wow, that I really like looking at that. That is, it's beautiful. It's pleasing. I understand why you have 4,000 followers. I don't know, but I linked to a picture of her sampler quilt, so you can, you know, explain to me why I like it so much. But I really did. And I thought, this is someone who knows how to use prints. This is someone who knows how to balance her design. Just really, really nice. The hardest thing about doing Stars Upon Stars was using the prints and really trying to set, when I did the setup, when I arranged the stars on the board, I had colors that worked really nicely together, but to be honest, some of the prints were too small. They were buzzy, you know, and you put them next to each other and they start having this buzzy little conversation. And you're like, please be quiet. I can't deal with this. And you have to move them to different sides of the playground, you know. So that was an interesting process. But I do trust very much that if I'm looking at something going, and there's a little voice, pardon me, kind of squinching as I'm looking at my eyes, as I'm looking at it, like I'm trying to make something go away, that's a sign that my block placement is not working. So I got it to the place where I like it. I ended up using about, I think, 7 of the stars, of the 21 stars, use Krista Watson's new fabric line, Modern Marks, which I like a lot. I just think it's darling. So I was really happy to have that. It was interesting to use fabrics. And I think one or two of the fabrics from Krista's line, I don't think they were designed to be blender fabrics, but they worked that way in the quilt, which was nice. And then I had another, some fabric from my stash, such as it is, this lavender fabric. I don't know where it came from. I have zero idea. Maybe I got it at Scrap Exchange. Zero idea. It's a really pretty fabric, and it is definitely a blender fab. I think. I mean, it does have a print, you know, but the way it reads from a distance is solid. So it was nice. I needed some of that, just kind of space, you know, to give the quilt a little space, you know, a little breathing room in there. So I enjoyed doing that. And we'll be happy to, you know, finish up these quilts that are in the queue for machine quilting. As soon as I think about all the quilting I've got to do, you know, my back and shoulders start tensing up. Like, oh yeah, I know how that feels. It's like you have to get up and do a lot of stretching. Before I forget, I want to tell you I finished a novel that I liked a lot called Olivia Oliphant is Completely Fine. And the author's name is It's Honeyman. It's a Scottish woman. It was a fun book. It was funny. It had, it had some depth to it, some richness while still being funny and light. I enjoyed that very much. I am just about done. In fact, I need to finish it up. Oh my goodness. I can't forget to finish it up. This book, The Other Einstein, which is a novel, historic fiction about Einstein's wife. And it's a pretty good read. I find myself, pretty sure it's like, I think I can just skim these two pages and still stick with the plot. And I do that. The writing is not amazing. It's not terrible. Although I read it and I think your editor did not do a good enough job. There's just stuff that felt to me, just as should have been tightened up. But it's not a bad read. So if someone says, oh, I've got an extra copy of The Other Einstein, do you want to read it? I was like, it's a bit of history I didn't know. I know a little bit more about Einstein. But apparently his wife was also a physicist. And was very involved in his work. And was, in fact, the originator of some of his work. She doesn't always get credit. In fact, rarely does, which is why we didn't know that Einstein's wife was so smart. So just wanted to share that. I am watching. I just watched the whole series, this whole season. There was only one season of Freaks and Geeks. I've watched it about 6 times now. I really like it a lot. And what else? I was watching something else I wanted to tell you about. Oh, just watching This Is Us season 2. Which, it's a good soap. I like a good soap. I really do. So, but if you're watching, let me know if you're watching This Is Us and what you think about the second season. I think I think this week was episode 3, maybe episode 4, but I think it's episode 3. So tell me what you're thinking. All right, I'm going to finish this up because I know I recorded for a long time last week. And I also would love to have this posted tomorrow. So I hope this finds you doing well. I hope it's really beautiful where you are, whether it's spring or fall, and you're feeling inspired and energized and have a good project to work with. And if you're lucky, a really good dog asleep by your side. I'll talk to you next time. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Off Kilter Quilt. Come visit me online at offkilterquilt.com. Until next time, this is Frances. Remember, life is short. Quilt first.